We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee with you for the next 2 hours. Also on board, Derek Brandale, Jake the Snake Schultz. 5 games on tap. We got a terrific show for you today. We'll get into the in-depth analysis, of course. The Leaf Hour kicking us off here. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. And in the second hour, Mike Keenan in studio. Of course, he's got a new book coming out, Iron Mike. As a guy that got a behind-the-curtains glimpse of Mike Keenan in 1994, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. He can't hurt you anymore.
You can't trade me. You can't send me down.
Yeah.
You can't bench me.
You should cut him today. Cut his mic off or something today.
I will say there's been a little different energy about you today.
Kip's ready.
It's been a quiet, I wouldn't say nervousness, but definitely more excited than usual. It could tell from the second you walked to the door.
Listen,
you're acting a little differently.
For like 20 minutes or so in our next hour, I get to talk to like a Lex Luthor, you know, like a criminal mind. I get to talk to like someone like, what made you tick all those years?
This is going to be like Tony Soprano, like therapy here. We're just going to...
Total!
We're going to get to the root of his feelings.
Dr.
Malfi over here? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The time you said... Why? What were you thinking?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So we're looking forward to that at the top of the hour. But as we mentioned, 5 games on tap, including the Toronto Maple Leafs, who get shut out for the first time in 250 consecutive games. That's a hell of a run to not get shut out.
Yeah. It is. It's just very funny. It's not... the reason, but it's very funny to be like 252 straight games with a goal. Berube coaches 1 game and they get shut out. Has nothing to do with Berube, but it is funny. The first game,
227 regular season games and 252 games total, including playoffs, without getting shut out.
Third most in NHL history.
And yeah, first game
with Berube, no goals.
That is remarkable.
Tough luck.
The one thing that I mentioned on a few occasions was an adjustment period for the Leafs, going from Sheldon Keefe to Craig Berube. And I'm just wondering if you saw any signs of that last night.
Yep.
Because, again, we're used to a certain style, and a phrase that we often use over the last few years is a team that's trying to outscore their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's abundantly clear since Craig Berube took over that he doesn't want to hear that anymore. And it was a game that, you know, with a couple of bounces, they got almost 50 shots on goal, that it could have easily looked to me like a 2-1 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which doesn't say that that's the way they won in the past. So,
right.
I mean, I'm okay with last night losing 1-0. I'm not overly concerned about losing 2 points to a team that shouldn't make the playoffs because, for me, there is an adjustment period. Did you see any of that, JB?
I did, for sure, particularly on the special teams. But I'll start with just my overview thought from the game, which was, it's fine. I thought they played well. They created, I think it was actually 48 shots. They adjusted it. Post-crossbars, top line looked great. You know, they created lots of chances. I thought lots there where you play that game over 100 times, they win 95 of them. Not a huge deal to me. Stolarz was awesome. But there were some real adjustments. I thought the penalty kill was horrid. Like, Matthews has not been a penalty killer. I thought there were several times where he didn't sag to the middle where a guy got a clean shot. I thought they were just, it just looked like a team figuring out some new systems, a power play. Pretty ineffective. So special teams for me looked at like the biggest change that they certainly didn't have a grasp on yet.
Would you like to hear the coach's thoughts on the overview of the game?
Sure.
All right. Let's get Kipper's clipper number one there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good things, a lot of shots, but I thought the execution was off. You know, whether it was a shot, you know, the passing a little bit just wasn't clean enough, you know, in times, power play included. But a lot of good stuff. I mean, you know, when you almost get 50 shots on net and you don't get a goal, their goalie played well, you know. But I was happy with their effort. Guys battled, worked. Stolarz was really good in net. A lot of good things, but we gotta find a way to finish better.
Yeah,
hasn't been a problem over the years finishing. No. Maybe in the playoffs, but not in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. In the playoffs, that it has come home to roost. I guess I would say that there was a lack of action at the net. You know, like they had some kind of one-off chances, but it didn't feel like they were all over Montembeau with screens and traffic and those kind of plays. But
it did, you know, not to do this on game one, but it did feel like a lot of playoff games I've watched Leafs play in, where it's like they don't get to the middle of the ice a ton. Like, I don't know what their actual slot shots were. They had a ton of quantity, but, yeah, you know, that's one of the things we've always talked about with this team when it comes to shots, that the quantity versus quality, it's often, you know, the ratio of that's often off. You know, you look at what Stolarz did last night, I'm sure we'll get into that, but I thought he had the more difficult saves of the two goalies, and he had half the shots that yeah, Montembeau faced. But, you know, I did think there were some good things.
Slot shots were 16-9 Toronto.
Really?
Yeah.
16? Okay, I guess. And how many did they end up with? 47? So, yeah, I guess that does kind of fit my theory a bit.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Not that lopsided. No. So.
Yeah, both goaltenders, excellent.
Yeah. Montembeau led the NHL in goalie steals last year, according to SportLogic. This is a thing he does. Like, he's pretty good at being the goalie who sees 40 pucks. So, thought he played well, and wasn't. That's not shocking that he did.
Based on what we saw out of Stolarz coming into camp, he's picked up where he's left off, and like really, really solid
mm-hmm.
to move forward. And of course, this is coming off of Joseph Woll, the announcement the other day that he would not start for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and now on IR 7 days, Sammy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 7 days.
So, you know, just your overall thoughts on him and how he carried himself and what we could expect as early as tonight going into Saturday against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess right now it's like, if Woll's going to be hurt on and off, can Stolarz be a guy that you can play a lot? Because we just haven't seen that you're able to do it, because, boy, you sure trust him. Early returns are great. He made a couple saves where I think early in the third period, the Leafs ran the first 5 minutes of the third. The Leafs just poured it on.
Yeah.
And Stolarz just could have taken a nap. Yeah. And then it was a 2-on-1 down on him. Low blocker. He got a little piece of it. And it's like, those are awkward saves. And for him to show that he could stay in it, even when he wasn't getting a ton of action, great sign. Nothing but positive things to say after game one.
I can't think of a more different-looking goalie than Ilya Samsonov than yeah, the way that Stolarz looks in net, where it's just, you know, I've watched him play very little for the Leafs, a couple preseason games in this one. But, like, I already have like a scary amount of trust in him mm-hmm. in terms of just being in the right spots. Like, I think you get him going side to side. That's probably this weak spot. Like, there's a couple times last night where he slipped out a little bit. The goal that beats him, not many goalies are saving that, right? It's cross crease. That's maybe where his weak spots will be, but I like him, boys. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I was really impressed with last night.
Yep.
Okay, just for the record, coming off of yesterday's show, for me personally, I've heard the word trust twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said it a lot yesterday. I haven't said it once today. You've said it already, and you've said it already.
I got too much trust, bud. I got too much trust immediately. I'm a trusting person, though. Very loyal. I trust him.
Let's go to Craig Berube and find out how much he trusts him with his comments on Stolarz's performance last night.
Played so well tonight. Would you even consider going back to Stolarz?
Well, it's something we got to discuss here, you know, and we'll do that, and we'll make a decision.
Yeah, that's just on him playing tomorrow. Okay.
Do we think that, have we heard yet whether they're going to do the Hill to Beast tonight or not?
So, Berube speaking around 4:45 pregame. Okay. I'm sure we'll get the lowdown then.
Okay. But now, you play head coach or general manager based on last night facing the New Jersey Devils tonight in a game that you are the underdog in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? JB, you go first.
I think you got to play Hill to Beast. You know, not because it's not about Stolarz at all. Well, I should say not at all. But if Hildeby is going to be your third guy, you have to show that you can play him. It's a back-to-back. You know, he had a great performance last night. You don't want to see him kind of you know, spend himself too early. And so I think you're saying to Hildeby, we trust that you can go in the net. Sheldon Keefe didn't trust him last year. We trust that you can. It makes me nervous, but I think you got to see at least, right? They're not going with Matt Murray, so they must trust this guy a little bit. Trust.
Hildeby, obviously. There's no other option to me. Like, you're going to potentially put this strain on him in game two against a really good team, travel, second half of back-to-back, just look great in the first. There's just, you can't, you know, it's, I know the Keefe thing's an added dynamic where you want to beat Keefe and the whole, that part of it, but you kind of have to look past that and just, I think, protect Stolarz a little bit here and obviously go Hildeby. You feel like you're going the other way.
No. I'm with you guys.
Okay.
I think that the game plan all along had been for no goalie to see a back-to-back to start the season.
Yeah, right.
And that shouldn't change because Joseph Woll is out for a week. So I'm with you that I don't want Stolarz to go in there, play really, really well, and be forced now to start him Saturday if, in fact, he plays really, really well, but they lose 3-2.
Yeah.
Or they lose 2-1 again, or they lose 1-0 like they did last night, and he faces 30, 40 shots, and he's great. But now I got to go back to him in my home opener, and make no mistake about it that they need – teams protect the home opener. Mm-hmm. That is your first glimpse to your season ticket holders, to your fan base, to the sponsors. It needs to be a good showing.
Yeah, the Habs cracked out the cellos last night, so we had to sit there for an hour and a half to watch a concert before game started.
I'll just good say Lord, this, the Montreal Canadiens presentation. If I watch that with any other organization, I'm like, they can get away with it.
Oh, I
somehow.
Disagree.
You know what?
Disagree.
Some way,
the Montreal Canadiens can get away with, am I going to the sympathy or am I going to the opening of an NHL game?
They should have had them come out and huff their own farts after that ceremony too, so we could really just get the whole experience.
It's just got to be a 500 hockey team.
I sent out a snarky tweet about it, and the replies to my tweet, I was just looking on my couch laughing. Like, I was tears in my eyes.
They can get away with it.
Somebody tweeted me, said they treat the start of a 30-win season like a royal wedding. Wool might be ready to go by the time the ceremony's over. There's a lot of stuff going. It was great. It was too long.
So are we good on the goalies, on Stolarz here, and what we thought there?
Yeah, just... again, the expectations from everything I'm hearing is that there's not a huge concern over Joseph Woll.
Okay.
So I think what we're dealing with Joseph Woll is something of, it happens through a hard training camp. And Craig was hard on them. And I a lot of people think an ankle, knee, just tweaked something that you usually do after a hard training camp, and it's not an overly big concern. My guess, groin.
Yeah. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You just give him the week here, and then hopefully he's 100% fine, and you don't have to cure anything with a pound of whatever it is. He should be fine. He'll be fine.
It's going to be fine.
It's fine.
I mean, there's no reason. No. There's no reason to worry.
It's fine.
You trust that he'll be back, right?
Everything's great.
You'll trust. You trust.
Yes.
That's where the word trust kind of dries up a little bit in the show right now. Yeah. Let's just get him back in, and hopefully he hits a long stretch of games.
Initial takeaways from that game, I mentioned I didn't love the special teams, right? That's early.
Okay, but we got to touch on that.
You want to touch on that first? Because I also think
the power play?
Sure. You want to start there?
Yeah,
all right.
I do.
Let's make sure I get to my next thing. Get it.
Didn't look much different than Guy Boucher's. And I'm lots of FaceTime for Mark Savard, but I had no sense of Mark Savard's fingerprints being all over a power play that kind of looked like it has the last few years, where it's good. It's a good power play.
It's been good, very good.
But it's been really bad when you needed it the most.
Super bad.
Extremely awful.
1 for 21.
That's all.
Year.
So I don't care what the stats say. I don't care top whatever during the regular season. When you need this power play the most, it has let you down. Mm-hmm. And it did last night.
Yeah.
That's what I saw out of the power play.
So what do you want to see different? Do you want to see different structure, formation, personnel?
Can I ask you two something? Mm. This is something I noticed, and I was, if you're going to do the loaded up unit and the clear B unit, you don't do an even split with the ice.
It had to be. I think PP2 got more ice time than PP1 last night.
Like, if you're going to do the split in time, do you not split up the stars?
This is really tough because I understand what he wants to do. He wants to establish a second power play, and he wants to push and challenge the other guys. You don't want them getting fat and lazy to think they're going to get their 150 all of 2 minutes on the power play. You got to create and create all these cookie monsters. So you got to create an internal competition.
But it's not one, right? It's like Nick Robertson's not
it's
in
not
competition
really
with
one,
Willie Nylander.
And I suppose that if they get a little more frustrated and they start squeezing a little bit more, they'll stay out there longer.
Yeah, probably.
But I get it. Like, Nick Robertson's come off a very good training camp where he saw power play time when the big boys weren't there, but now the big boys are there, and you don't want to disrespect his training camp by all of a sudden giving him 10 seconds on a power play.
I thought last night was the training camp respecter game. This is Berube was the training camp respecter. With the lineup, like, you know, Robertson and Pacioretty are in, McMahon's out. They didn't love McMahon's camp. Robertson, you couldn't deny his camp. So he gets to be in. Pacioretty committed to be there, you know, before in the summer. I'm sure they committed to him. He gets to be in. As you mentioned, they get power play time because they had good camps, yada, yada. A lot of good camp stuff last night. I don't know that in reality it's the best idea. Like, Bobby McMahon's going to play tonight, and I haven't seen anyone say that, but I am just so sure that that's going to be the case. I'm sure Power Play 1 is going to get more time. There's a lot of training camp respect last night with the way they used that lineup, I thought.
It felt to me like the way they're, like, it's not like last year, so we're going to pull the stars off with a minute left in the power play. Like, yeah. It's different this time. It's different, but if you're just going to keep all those guys together, then just leave them out there for a minute 40.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just going to go the way of not splitting it up, it just seemed counterintuitive to pull them off the ice and put on five worse players.
The problem with that, Sammy, is that you start leaning towards Team A and Team B.
Well,
that's
is.
The start.
It still is.
I know
it
is.
Is the sport not like that now? Are most teams not like that?
Eventually, it will get to that.
Yeah.
But you're trying to be respectful to the whole lineup. That's all.
That
and
is the effort this year.
You're trying to bring everybody together over 20 minutes. And, you know, Nick, do you have the time on ice time of the power play?
No.
Okay.
But I can get it. And I
would assume that the second unit wasn't that far off from Matthews and Marner.
I would not be shocked if they played marginally more by a few seconds or something. Yeah.
So, like, there's a big difference between doing that in game one and then doing that a week or two from now when you're on a three-game losing streak and the big boys
they're
goalless.
Yeah. So we don't have actual power play time on ice where I'm looking, but I'll find that.
It doesn't really matter, but we do know that it was
close. It's close than it usually is. That's for sure.
Fairly balanced, at least from the eye test.
Yep, absolutely. And the ice time deployment in general is pretty similar to how it always is. Marner, 22:39. Matthews, 22 or 21.
Just
whatever.
Again, for me, it just seems like they don't start a good rotation off the top. And not to make this on Morgan Riley, but Morgan Riley's out there, and he just doesn't seem to be able to find different looks to trying to get a puck to the net or drawing people in and then starting a rotation. It just seems like it's a little too flat-footed for me.
They don't pass it.
There's not movement.
If you don't move the puck around, you don't make the PK change shape. And if you don't make them change shape, you don't create seams, and then you just end up passing it around the outside. Can I shoot it? Can I shoot it? You try again. Can you shoot it? I mean, it's got to be some quicker puck movement for sure. And I will say, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, watching him last night during 5-on-5 play in particular, I don't remember a Leafs D-man being as involved in the offense as he was every shift.
Paul Maurice loved the way Oliver Ekman-Larsson is able to get pucks. you know,
through to the net.
Through to the net.
He's up the ice. He had a ton of touches.
He thinks he's one of the best at it.
Yeah. Was it him that filtered that one that Montembeau didn't see and
off
it hit the post?
Low post.
Yeah, like it was Montembeau a centimeter from going in. He did find it
a few times.
That was
probably the closest to an actual goal, and I don't know that it registered much during the game.
Where are you on the bumper position? Because my first thought with Matthews, Marner, Nylander, or Tavares, that it's Morgan, two flanks on the opposite side, you know, and one guy down low is an outlet. I mean, are you a bumper guy?
So right now, I think of it as Riley up top, Marner on one side, Matthews on the other, and then Willie and JT's net front. Willie mostly bumper, but I never see
sometimes
Willie.
Sometimes Marner gets into that bumper position, and I think he gets lost.
They never get a shot there. You know, it doesn't seem like that. They don't move it enough to open up that center of the ice, so I don't know. It hasn't been an effective. I bet if you went back and looked at all their power play goals from last season, you'd see very few that were a quick one touch to the bumper goal type of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see Mark Savard takes it over. Is anything going to change or is it just going to be what it's been?
Another thing that I asked you guys, but wasn't there like a lot of hard line talk and hard training camp and all this stuff with like getting the pucks in and a little bit more dump and chase? And then I watched their first power play. And they're all just spin and dropping. It's like, I thought maybe that they would try a one dump.
Different breakout. Yeah.
Just one time. I know every team does it, but like when you hear them talk about it throughout the training camp of it being a more dump and chase sort of harder nose team, the dropbacks and the power play and the game one not working, it's like, oh my God, tough pill to swallow immediately.
Yep. No, it's, you know, I don't know if that means special teams when they're talking about dumping the puck in, but yeah, it didn't look like anything was any different anywhere.
Looked exactly.
As far as the big boys were concerned, we saw a crossbar backhand by Matthews, but Marner, Nylander, Tavares, still the core four up front. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on their overall night?
Well, I guess a little disappointing that the lineup is just the way it's always been. Nothing looked any different. I thought Willie had the puck a ton. You know, Matthews robbed with a glove save and hits a crossbar. I don't know how many shots or shot attempts he had last night, but he was all over the puck, six shots. You know, one thing, the most interesting conversation I had via text during the game, Bunkus texted me. He said, who are the three fastest players in the Leafs? And I said, Nylander. And then you really start
Robertson.
To grind. Yeah, you think? Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, but the point being, it's kind of tough to do the list. Like, it's not that they don't have some good skaters, but they're not a fast team.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be fast, but watching that last night, it felt, I don't know, like Bobby McMahon should be in. He's probably their next fastest guy, and he's a big body.
The guy that jumped out to me last night, if I was going to say one of the stars or whatever concerned me, the conversation we usually have at the start of the year, and we've done this for 3 years now, is Tavares. In the first few games, we're always like, oh my God, Tavares is shot out of a cannon to start the season. He's really skating well. He's, you know, he's been working with Barb. Is he moving fast? Didn't see that last night. Mm-hmm. Thought he was fumbling the puck a lot. Didn't look, I just didn't think he had a very good game. Thought that he looked pretty noticeably slow playing last night.
Yeah.
Don't know if you guys thought the same, but I didn't notice him.
I thought Holmberg was pretty unimpressive.
It's just at now age 34 and so much talk about the last few years of bringing in Willie Nylander at center and pushing him back. You had to go back to him to start the season for, again, whatever reason that you weren't comfortable with going any further with Willie Nylander in the middle of the ice. But the trajectory is that he does now struggle 5-on-5. Like he's still smart enough to get points on the power play, and we saw him a couple of chances in deep where, you know, he couldn't find the open side, but
he'll get some goals there doing that.
He's going to get his cookies.
Yeah.
He's going to get his points on the power play.
But he's not driving the offense into the zone.
But as far as 5-on-5 as a second centerman, it's a concern.
Yeah. You know, I don't like that line at all.
No, agree.
Is it Domi, Tavares, Nylander? I don't like that at all.
No.
You know, one thing that stands out to me a little bit is, like, if you're going to put Nyes with Marner and Matthews, those three together, they better get two goals a night.
You know, Marner made a great play behind the net.
Yep.
And Nyes, I'm not sure, was handcuffed or not ready, but he had a glorious opportunity. And I think he fanned on the puck.
He also dropped one to Marner that was just, Marner wasn't there. I liked Nyes last night, like in terms of like he out-muscled people and he won pucks, but I just think he's better suited on that second line is where I'm going.
Haven't we had this conversation about him deferring when he plays in the top?
Yeah, like, he's been better without those guys.
Can I say that you saying that to me after game one tells me they got some issues on the left side.
Yeah, we're 3 years into this conversation, and that doesn't make it valid.
But Matthew Nyes was a lock.
But he's a lock. He's their best left winger.
He's a lock.
He is their best left winger.
You're telling me now that he's their best left winger and you want to move him down in the lineup.
Well, Kip, you don't have to have your best players together. You know that.
So who's going up there? Domi?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Let Domi set up Matthews for a couple more shots. Domi can play with skill guys, right? He can make those sauce passes. He can see the play like an elite player. Domi drives me nuts in the 4-year contract. Not sure, but he can play with elite players. Let's just see it. Otherwise, there's not a ton at left wing.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you because the options, there are not many options out there.
No.
So I get that.
Like Nick Robertson's not going to work. He's a solo mission guy.
The left side is missing a locked in horse right now. And Nyes will be that guy, we think, eventually, but he's still young. He's still learning. He's still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think even if he was on the second line with Willie and you had Domi play center there, or you had, something else in the middle with those guys, you need to find a second line that can control play, be on the right side of possession. Last year, Willie and JT together lost their minutes in terms of shot attempts. Which is insane.
I don't think it's a question of Nyes' ability or like his size. And like you said, he loved a lot of his game last night. It's just the way he thinks of himself with those two guys. It feels like he thinks that he has to defer, that he's not the man on that line, that he has to play this certain role, that he's better than the role that he's playing on that line.
He needs to make better decisions with a puck. That's what Matthew
needs. But I think it's related to what he's saying, where it's like, it's Matthews and
Marner. He's overthinking it.
I get to play with them rather than, sometimes shoot it. Sometimes make your own reads.
Yeah.
Not just trying to facilitate for those guys, necessarily.
Fourth line.
Great.
Yeah.
Really good shift.
Yeah. Stephen Lorenz looked like Rick Nash last night.
Stephen Lorenz was great.
Flying. I know it's early, but Lorenz, to me, is a guy that stick him up there with. I'm telling you, he can go up and down the lineup. He can go and play with Matthews or Marner for a shift or two.
But that's the Hyman and Matthews has had those guys. He played with the guy to go get the puck and stand in front of the net.
I'm saying is that he's good enough that he can move, for me, up and down the lineup.
He's got more pace than I thought when they signed him.
He can get around.
Yeah, he can move around.
But yeah, I'm a fan.
You like him?
Yeah, I do.
But I thought the one difference in Craig Berube coaching from Sheldon Keefe that was most evident to me was a trust in a fourth line where I think they started the third period, or maybe didn't start the third period, but they were out there early.
It came out of a
TV timeout with 8 minutes left down a goal. They went with that line, and that line was awesome, almost scored a goal. Like, he showed real trust in those guys. And what did Lorenz, where he's 18? He played 9 minutes last night, but he had 4 shots, 3 hits, and a blocked shot in 9 minutes. Those are good minutes.
He was so excited for that game.
Yeah, he was.
If we stay on the left side, Pacioretty drew a couple penalties, I think. And
I actually liked him. I thought he had a good night.
I think
you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got no issues with him. But, long term, is this the Pacioretty you're going to see? A guy going out there finishing checks and driving hard to the net?
Late in the third period.
Hit someone hard.
Hammered somebody.
Hammered someone up high. He made the pass to Matthews with 10 seconds left. Yeah. He had some good looks. No problem with him last night.
Is that the Pacioretty we're going to see all season long? Or just a guy that goes into Montreal and
fired up?
Well,
this
is
the Tavares thing where it's like, in the past you've had a good few games and it's just the ability to sustain that. But certainly when I'm talking about the lineup tonight, I'm not looking at Pacioretty and going, is that a guy we want in there? Like, I thought he was great. He played 13 and a half minutes. But he had four hits, two shots. Those are useful minutes for me.
This is definitely a guy that, if you want the pessimistic prediction, is that he could have a really great October here, mm-hmm. where, like you said, he shot out of a cannon, new opportunity, and then he kind of moves his way up the lineup. And then because of him being a veteran, he sticks up too long and he starts to fade a little bit, and yeah. then people start to turn on him a bit, is how I could see that going. But for the last night and going forward here, I think he looks pretty good.
Yep, good start. Mm-hmm. Good start.
Okay, we'll take a quick break.
Yeah, I forget who the Leafs are playing tonight. They're playing somebody.
The Devils.
The Devils.
Who's coaches them? Who coaches them?
we get Kippers Clippers with Sheldon Keefe.
Do we have a Kippers Clipper with Sheldon Keefe back?
We have four Kippers Clippers, and four. Boy, are they long.
Wow. They're
gonna take us right to the next hour.
Right to Mike Keenan.
Yeah.
All right, as I said, next hour, Mike Keenan will join us in studio to talk about his book with Scott Morrison, Iron Mike. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
The first of a handful of, I think, back-to-back games for the Toronto Maple Leafs starting tonight in New Jersey.
They got five by the end of November, I think.
And they will see a very fast hockey club.
Probably the in New Jersey. I mean, just saying there's a chance. There's a chance they could get killed tonight. There's a chance. They got Hildeby in net, quite likely. They're off a back-to-back. The Devils are 2-0, flying. Keefe is hungry, home opener, fired up to get there, you know, get a win against the Leafs. There's a chance.
Sammy, I didn't get a chance to go through the Kippers Clippers of Sheldon Keefe, but I would imagine he is just absolutely like dripping with compliments for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, you know.
You've
like listened. Dripping.
You know it's nothing but.
Okay. Would you like to start with Keefe clip number one? Keefe clip number one, please, Derek.
I don't know what to make of it. You know, I've never been in this situation before. We'll see when we get out there and the game gets going. But what does it mean to me? Not a lot, quite honestly. I mean, I got nothing but love from the people that are on the other side. And tremendous respect for everybody in the organization that treated me so well and the players that gave me so much. So to that end, it's going to be strange being on the other side. But you know, for us, it's our home opener. It's my first time in front of the Devils fans. So that sense, I'm more focused on that. It's a little bizarre that the Leafs are coming in here, obviously. But other than the fact that we've got a lot to prepare for because it's a very good team to play against, and I'm on the other side now and getting a sense of what other teams I've had to contend with, you know, and dealing with what's been a top five or top 10 team in the regular season over the last number of years. That's what my focus.
God, does he like to talk?
You it's know what, amazing. You know we're so back.
What's been exposed is how little we worked the last 3 years. We just turned on Keith Flips.
What was he even talk?
Like, we got a coffee.
My eyes were crossing.
Got a paycheck from this show.
You didn't do anything. You didn't do a video by the Hudson River today, did you? Anything and put it on Instagram?
I don't think so.
He had another clip on guys that reached out to him from the Leafs. Would you like to hear that? Keith clip three, please, Derek.
Yeah, I had good opportunities to chat with them. They were nice enough to reach out, and you know, I mean, most of the guys, you know, whether it's phone calls or text messages, so that was great. And you know, like I said, I got nothing but love and respect to the people on the other side. I leave Toronto disappointed that I wasn't able to help them, you know, push through in the playoffs. But I do think that the team's in a really good place. Love the moves that Tree made in the offseason. And I think that, you know, the team is as good as it's ever been. And I wish them nothing but the best. And as I say, nothing but love and respect for them.
Was that four or five love and respects?
A lot of love and respect.
Listen,
if they help me line my jeans with the money he's making right now, mm-hmm. I'd love them too.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly what he should say, right? Pure respect for the people from the team before. You want him to come out and be like,
no,
air all his bitterness?
No, it's fine. I'm okay with it.
But you know, there's lingering resentments for certain things, and he's being the bigger man and not saying.
Where do you think the resentment is the most?
Getting fired, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, probably getting kicked in the butt out of the door.
This is the best team that they've had, better than anything they gave me. Is that what he said in there, too?
He did, too, but that also, I think, is self-protection, right? If they go in the cup or something, he gets they like, well, I didn't know that. No, right? You get to protect yourself if they do have success.
I don't know if it's the first thought in his head.
No. What do you think it is then? Just that,
no, that it's like I could have used more help, I think.
Maybe. Maybe it's part of it.
I don't think he cares. I think he looks at his lineup right now and goes,
yeah, baby.
This team didn't have a goalie last year. They went out and got a goalie in Markstrom. And who's behind him? Two new goalies, I think.
What's that? Markstrom and Jake Allen.
Jake Allen. That's right.
He had some comments, Keith did, about how some of the, not flaws or issues or whatever, but some of the challenges with the Leafs are when he first came around are similar to the ones he has with the Devils now. They're not a particularly big, strong, mean team. They're not a particularly defensive-focused team. They are
I had that clip isolated, and it was a minute and 53 seconds, so I decided.
Yeah, that's fine.
We don't decided not.
Two-minute clips on that. But the point is, he, I think, looks at his current lineup and says, been down this road and seen how it ends. How do I fix it?
If I'm Heischer and Hughes and Bratt, and I watch the way the Leafs put points up and score goals and kind of had that freewheeling kind of, like, I'd be excited to pad my stats.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he never played big. The emphasis wasn't finishing your checks.
No.
It was not.
No. But it is one of the biggest misconceptions of the Keefe era Leafs is that they were, as you said earlier in the show, a outscore your problems. You know, they were a great defensive team, not last year.
They had a real good stretch.
Yeah,
last year in the playoffs, they were unbelievable defensively.
Yeah, like in the 2 years prior, they were top five or whatever in the NHL in like expected goals against and real goals against, top 10.
But he just couldn't get them to play that way consistently or have it part of their identity.
I agree. Yeah, their identity was always the core four, and they score a lot, and then they don't score in the playoffs, and then that becomes an identity where people laugh at them.
Well, I mean, you watched the Amazon thing that just went out. Like, they had Keefe up there saying the same things we were on the air, being like, hey, middle of the ice, get there.
Yeah.
Put pressure on their goalie. Like, he was, like, saying these things to them. I bet you if one of us sat down to have a cold, frothy beverage with Sheldon Keefe, you wouldn't, you know, do it to one of us because then we would talk about it. But to a friend, you know, he'd probably have a lot of resentment towards some of the stars.
Well, I think so.
You know?
I do.
It's like, my reputation is this guy that can't get out of the first round because every big game I coached in, none of my stars could get me a big goal. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure he does have some resentment towards the Leafs stars. How could you not?
For sure. It's like being a coach who didn't win the Super Bowl because someone missed wide right. You know, like had they won, maybe you win a Super Bowl.
A laundry list of things he would have liked to seen differently. They all have them. And, you know, in the few minutes, we'll hopefully get Mike Keenan in here in the next hour and maybe talk about that, because he went toe-to-toe with the general manager at the time in New York, Neil Smith, and Keenan probably had much more luck or influence in getting the players he wanted to try to win right away, and you know, obviously there was a tug of war between him and Neil Smith, but Neil eventually got them the players that he wanted. Not every coach has that. Sheldon didn't have that last year.
And, right.
Right? A lot of coaches just don't have that type of power. But I'm sure there's a lot of changes Sheldon would have liked to have made. Mm-hmm. And probably just didn't have, you know, the backup from Brendan Shanahan or at the time, maybe even Kyle. I don't know.
I'm sure that once Kyle left and Sheldon was still here, all of whatever cachet he would have had to make such requests was pretty much nil, right? Like, that becomes a tree team, a shanty team.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that some of the decisions that were made in the last year here were out of his hands and maybe came from higher than him, where he just said, you got to play this guy or this is what we're doing. And he just tried to be the facilitator. And So, again, probably some resentment.
Did you guys look at what his all-time record was with the Leafs? Did you look at that on the lineup, Kipper, or no? Can I give it to you?
Yeah, give it to me.
212-97-40.
Not even 100 losses here.
For a 6.22 winning percentage. Well, not 97 regulate. No 100 you know, regulation losses.
But like...
6.22!
I know, but he was also gifted...
I know.
Two of the highest scoring Leaf players in history, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Points per game and like...
For sure. He had tools to have success.
Walked right into it.
Yep.
So did Kyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just couldn't find the secret sauce to put it all together.
Right. So heading into tonight, he would have some insight into the way these guys play. And I text Sam this last night, but I am curious to see what the Devils come out and play like. Because if he thought that this team was soft, you know, that they back down or whatever, you'd think he would tell his guys to go attack them. Yeah. Would you not?
Okay,
like dress McDermott, go at them, lay the body.
But your core guys got to buy into that.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean?
Is Nico Hischier going to?
Jack Hughes, go attack them. What does that mean? I'm going to outskate them.
It doesn't have to be your core guys like that.
It does. They're the ones that have to set the tone and then others follow. They're the leaders. Attacking means it's got to start with your top guys.
Right, but it wouldn't be Connor McDavid who does it. It'd be Evander Kane who does it for the Oilers, right?
Like, did you see Connor finishing his checks last year? And come on, he's hitting guys.
You don't think
you can't ask guys to do it if you're not willing to do it yourself?
So for you, if Sheldon thinks that this team is soft,
yeah,
is there anything he would tell his guys to take advantage of that? Or do you think he would just skip it because Bratt and Hughes?
I don't know. It could be getting Marner's face, getting Matthews' face. They don't like confrontation outside of maybe a one-on-one battle with the puck. But they don't like scrums. They don't like this.
Talk to him after the whistle. And so I'm curious.
Does New Jersey have that lineup
not
though?
Really.
JB,
no.
So to my point, who's you know,
Hischier, Palat, Holla, Nason, Cotter, Lazar, Bastion.
This is a fast lineup.
Fashionable,
just
fast lineup.
They're in many ways kind of. Sheldon's going to go out there and just try to outskate them, outskill them.
Mm-hmm. Brendan Dillon's a large animal, but yeah, no, they don't have a ton.
Dillon could challenge, yep.
Yeah. But you know, I am curious to see if they try to take advantage of that somehow. I'd like to see how he wants to expose the Leafs, like Matthews in particular. We do have a clip of
how
do you slow down Austin Matthews?
The puck away from him, make him defend, you know, minimize your mistakes and get some love from the crossbar so if we can, like last night.
Yeah. Hope he hits the post. That's our plan to defend.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Make him defend. Make him defend, I think, is the point there.
So in and out tonight, if you're the Leafs, going into game two here.
Right. Who is out that's available outside of Bobby McMahon? Is there anyone that's... Because everyone's on the IR. Dewar's on the IR.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of forwards.
I guess it's more of a defensive question. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, Connor Timmins last night, I thought, had a couple moments of somewhat good moments. But there's a lot of stuff that you watch him, you're like, God.
Yeah.
It's not the most. But at least he's doing something out there.
I wonder if, since we've been on the air, there's been some announcements or whatever. Daily Faceoff has McMahon on the fourth line with Lorenzen Kampf instead of Ryan Reeves. And since there's no McDermott, that would make a lot of sense to me. I'm surprised he doesn't like McMahon more. You're going to play fourth line. Pacioretty, Holmberg, Robertson was fine, so maybe he just didn't want to mess up that line or didn't want to shake up any other lines.
There's always, when you fall in love with other players, someone's going to pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's McMahon. Kampf, to me, took a hit last night.
I thought he stunk.
Well, he just didn't have a presence.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like every time there was maybe a key face-off, Holmberg's the guy, not Kemp.
But even Holmberg wasn't great. Like, their bottom two-line centers, I thought, were pretty unimpressive last night. I do think McMahon's going to rise in his player ranking.
So I asked a question to the where there is an answer. Reeves is coming out tonight, and Bobby McMahon is playing.
Reeves
so,
out,
yep.
McMahon in.
Yep, that's right. And that is the only change.
Why don't we listen to the final Keith clip we have on what he expects from the home opener tonight.
Very excited. You know, the one preseason game we played here, I know we played two, but the first preseason game that I was here for, I can't remember what night of the week that was, but that one in particular, just in the early going, even just announcing the players and the starting lineup, and for a preseason game, it was loud and intense and all of that. So I'm excited here for tonight to get a taste of it on this side and hope we get through it without them throwing anything at us like I was here a few years ago.
Did they get things thrown at them?
Yes. You don't remember that game? Matt Murray and Nett? And there was like, he kicked a goal off and there's like three different disallowed goals. And then they started throwing, I don't know what it was. It was like a giveaway night. I don't know.
And here come the pretzels.
But they started whipping stuff on the ice, and it was a wild scene. Yeah. So there you go.
We'll see. Dougie Hamilton had a major injury last year. He's back. I mean, he's, for me, the last couple of years prior to his injury, he's been one of these guys where he's quietly become a very, very good defenseman.
Yeah, he's only 31 years old. And he's 6'6", 230.
I'm looking forward to watching his presence for the New Jersey Devils tonight.
Yeah, he's had 50-point seasons, 22 goals 1 year, 17 goals, 18 goals. Like, he's
type of guy that's on Team Canada radar.
Yeah.
Like, he's that echelon of guy for sure. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, though.
That'll be a big deal to get him back for the Devils. So, yeah, we'll get some. We didn't get any update on the goaltender though. We're still waiting for that information. Yeah. So those are the key stories to watch tonight. The special teams will be interesting to see if anything changes. And then, yeah, the defense lineup. That Liljegren's not even coming in for game two. Not sure if you saw this. Elliot in 32 Thoughts said that Liljegren, sounds like Toronto's working to find a landing spot for Timothy Liljegren. He's down the depth chart, not a situation anyone is happy with. And I just got to say, I have not been a big booster of Liljegren, but you can't get rid of him just to get rid of him, right? You need a better player. Like, it's either Timmins or Hakanpää in that spot right now. And like, I know I don't love Liljegren, but let's just make sure we like the return.
It's the $3 million. Yeah. Can you find an Anaheim to take him for a fourth round pick or a third round pick?
And then what do you do with the $3 million? You going to get me a better D?
You're right. And isn't this about depth? Isn't this about having a guy that, you know, if there's a couple of key injuries down the road, you're just going to have to replace him the road.
And he's not happy being the depth guy. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. We'll call you when we need you. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
And from
that's pro hockey.
I think Liljegren's the type of guy that you got to package. I think there needs to be something bigger than just
Liljegren. And a second for here's a real player. No, I mean, not. I don't mean real. That's too disrespectful.
I'm just curious to see where this Nick Robertson thing goes, because I know the power play time was a better balance for him. He saw more power play time during a regular season game than he has in a long time, but when it was all said and done, it still, for me, looked like Nick Robertson of last year. Mm-hmm. 10 to 12 minutes, and
didn't create anything.
That's it.
Sold. I'm sold. I like this idea.
Quickly before we go to break, intrepid reporter Luke Fox has tweeted out that Dennis Hildeby is, in fact, starting tonight.
Yeah. The Hildebeest.
So there's something to watch for.
Bringing the beast. He's another New Jersey against
big
the Devils.
Guy.
I'm just really hoping it's not, what was that kid's name that got lit up for seven against the Kaskasuo or
Kaskasuo, yeah.
Kazmir Kaskasuo.
He's a YouTuber now.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's also actively, he was at the Bruins camp as their sixth goalie, but he's got like an active YouTube page.
Huh.
So shout out to him. He was a good Marley when I was there.
There you go. So Hildebeest tonight, boys.
All right. What do you think? give me a prediction.
You know, they tend to bounce back well. I think he goes to overtime tonight. I'll say the Leafs win. The hell with it.
Wow.
I said they might get killed. They might. But I'll say they win 3-2 in overtime.
The results tonight will likely be extreme regardless of what happens.
Win or lose by four. No, I'm saying overtime.
We had a lot of goals last night for a night where Matthews got shut out. McDavid got shut out.
Draisaitl got shut out.
Yeah. All right. Mike Keenan, when we return, Iron Mike. My life behind the bench. Don't go away.